On Monday, the 29th of April this year, at precisely 10:51, months of uncertainty ended and speculation ceased. There was no longer any excuse for ignorance. The truth was out as Catherine Elizabeth Middleton stepped from the Goring Hotel in London with designer Sarah Burton at her side, clad in ivory and white satin, with lace applique and a 2.7-metre train. We were told that the lace included motifs of a rose, a thistle, a daffodil and a shamrock to represent each nation of the United Kingdom, for this was a dress fit for a future queen. Speculation about the dress was at an end. We've just heard from John's Gospel, the preface, perhaps the most famous of all Christmas readings, and its message is clear. With the arrival of Jesus Christ, as he steps out onto the stage of human history, all uncertainty ends with regard to God. Speculation can cease, and there is no longer any need for ignorance, because the truth is out. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God has not left us in the dark. He has stepped in to history. He has entered space and time in a way that we can understand and relate to as a person, as a human being, in the historical figure of Jesus of Nazareth. Notice how John says, "We have seen." This is an eyewitness account. John and the other eyewitnesses saw Jesus. They touched him, ate with him, listened to him, learned from him. This is real history from trustworthy, first-hand eyewitness reporting. It stands the test of close scrutiny. The real historical figure of Jesus of Nazareth. We have seen. So the first thing to note about Christmas is that it is not myth or fable or legend. The facts about Jesus are not the same as the stories about Santa and Scrooge and the snowman. There is a fact on the table, woven into history. And it has to be taken seriously. John's preface is not just inviting us to have a think about Jesus if we feel like it, or if we can be bothered, or if we can fit it in amidst the busyness of everything else. Rather, it is a command, an instruction to sit up and take notice of this man. It's saying this is the most important birth in all history. This man is your maker. This baby is your God. This infant is God as he really is. That's what glory means here. So we must take note. We must take Jesus seriously. We cannot simply coo sentimentally over the manger scene and then pack away the crib for another year. That will not do. A couple of years ago, there was an exhibition in the Turbine Hall at Tate Modern on the South Bank in London. It was a vast black box, 30 metres long, 10 metres wide, 13 metres high. It was an installation by the Polish artist Mirosław Balka. It was called How It Is. It was meant to explore the way we interact with the unknown. So you walked up a slope into the structure, and you walked into complete blackness. The box was entirely dark. You could see absolutely nothing. You couldn't be sure if you were going to bump into anything or anyone else. It was meant to be disconcerting and unsettling as you walked into darkness. The poster outside said, "The unknown can be terrifying. especially if it is also without light. For many, God remains unknown. But here is the wonder, the second thing that we need to note about Christmas. We no longer need to be in the dark about God. In him was life, John says, and the life was the light of man. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. John is claiming that Jesus is the one who can turn the lights on, who can introduce us to God as he really is. And the great news then is that all the confusion and uncertainty and speculation and ignorance can be over. In his book, In God We Doubt, the journalist and broadcaster John Humphreys calls the Confessions of a Failed Atheist. He speaks about his ultimate failure in life to find big answers to the big questions he's had. He says, quote, "Along the way, I've experienced the indoctrination of confirmation classes, the anticlimax of the Eucharist, and the futility of prayer, and I end up, at any rate so far, as a doubter." But the opening words of John's Gospel claim that we don't need to be imprisoned in doubt, unsure about the nature or existence of God any longer. Because the baby in the manger, who grew up to be the very epicenter of history, BC, AD, is the living answer to all our questions. He enables us to know the truth about God because he is God. Not a mystery or a spooky feeling or a disembodied force, but a person. God with skin on. Imagine for a moment you're staying in a big old house and you can hear someone moving around upstairs. And you know they're there, but you're not quite sure who they are or what they have to do with you. You don't know what they're like. Until they come down the stairs. It's like that with God. Sometimes we hear his footsteps when we look with wonder at the stars on a frosty night, or when we're driving and a piece of music on the radio is so beautiful we have to pull over and just listen, or when we're overwhelmed with love for someone, like footsteps in the room above. These things, and many others besides, make us wonder if there is, despite all we've been told, if there is someone out there after all. But Christmas means God doesn't need to be distant or unknown or an impersonal concept or only the echo of footsteps above our heads. Jesus is God come down the stairs. This is what C.S. Lewis rightly termed the grand miracle, or what a leader in the Times newspaper described as the shocking centre of Christian faith, which dares to claim that in the fragility and contingency of a single human life, the Creator knew his creation from the inside. John's claim is that the historical figure of Jesus of Nazareth is the Word made flesh. The Word, the title John gives to Jesus, the Word who is God, the Word of eternity, entered into human history. No wonder they marveled at his wisdom, trembled at his power, were humbled by his purity and worshipped at his feet. You will not find this claim anywhere else. It is unique, and it sets the Christian faith apart from any and every religion and any other philosophical system. This simple fact blows a blast of refreshing sanity through the slushy sentimentalism of Christmas. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Christmas and the romance and the traditions of it. I love the tinsel and the turkey, the parcels and the presents, the chocolate and the candles, the lights and the lashings of brandy butter, the trees and the trimmings. But this is the heart of Christmas. The carols echo it again and again. We've sung, "He came down to earth from heaven." We've sung, "Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake became its man." We've sung, "Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. And in a moment we'll sing, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. So as I close, may I ask, have you got to the heart of Christmas yourself? C.S. Lewis again wrote this, Christianity is a statement which is false, is of no importance, and if true, is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. Christmas means that we must take the historic figure of Jesus of Nazareth seriously. And Christmas means we no longer need to be in the dark about God. We can know God, not just facts about him, but know him personally, relationally. That's why it's such great and joyful news for the Christian. If this claim is false, well, then Christmas is no more than a brief manufactured moment of winter cheer. Enjoy it if and while you can. But if these words are true, and the rest of John's gospel lays out clear and compelling evidence to believe that they are, well, then they are of infinite and eternal importance. The novelist Dorothy Sayers put it this way. From the beginning of time until now, it is the only thing which has ever really happened. We may call this truth exhilarating, or we may call it devastating. We may call it revelation, or we may call it rubbish. But if we call it dull, well then what in heaven's name is worthy to be called exciting? Can I say, your reaction to this truth at the heart of Christmas ought to be extreme. If it's not, if at the moment you're a little bit take it or leave it about Jesus, well then it can only mean you haven't begun to come to terms with the scale of his claims and you've not yet grasped the heart of Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. My prayer is that wherever you are, whoever you're with, and whatever you're doing this Christmas, this wonderful and amazing and awesome truth will be at the heart of it for you personally. And on into 2012 too, that you will discover and know the grace and truth Jesus gives for yourself. May I wish you a very joyful and happy Christmas. Amen.